it's Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield.
Well, I have a microphone and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
And Adam Hill.
I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you. And I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
I'm a little frenzied right now. A little frenzied. I feel like I couldn't keep up with the NBA trade deadline the way I wanted to the last day and a half. So I'm going to give the best roundup I have. You ready?
Okay.
So just sit tight. Just sit tight. I'll see if I have most of the important deals. So Harrison Barnes to the Kings, Otto Porter to the Bulls. Well, the Pelicans made a lot of moves. I don't know who's there and who's not. Markieff Morris to the Pelicans. Does that sound right? Tyler Johnson to the Suns. Thon Maker to the Pistons. The Thon Maker deal included Stanley Johnson going to the Bucks. Well, that's a good pickup, except the Bucks then turned around Stanley Johnson with a bunch of second-round picks and picked up Nikola Mirotic. Other deals... The Lakers did make a deal with the Clippers. Mike Muscala is now a Laker.
I saw.
I thought Zubats was like this super valuable young big for the Lakers. He's gone. Him and Bees, Michael Beasley, so hopefully he can remember to wear the freaking Clippers game shorts and not the warm-up shorts when he comes in next time. The Raptors, this one surprised me too. Valanciunas, like great young building block. Gone.
Is he still young?
Yeah, he is, actually.
I think he's getting older.
How old do you think he is?
I would guess 27.
Man, this search is going to take forever. Valanciunas. It's going to take a while. But in that deal, he's 26, so he's still pretty young. No, he's actually 26. He was born in 92. In that deal, Valanciunas goes... for Marc Gasol. So the Raptors going all in, looking for more immediate help in Gasol. The Clippers also... Boy, the Clippers are really working this. There's a great storyline here with the Clippers about their flexibility. Man, yeah. The Lakers better be worried. Avery Bradley, bye-bye. The Clippers clear the deck on him. And then I think the deal that you're most fascinated by, and you want to talk about a bunch of these, but Markelle Fultz, the number one pick 2 years ago... You know, we were talking yesterday, hey, the one thing the Sixers have got to improve on is some sort of point guard for 20 minutes, because either Fultz has to fill the 20 minutes or they got to flip him for something. He's a former number one pick, so the Sixers got something for him. Jonathan Simmons and picks? Is there someone else coming back? That's it for the number one pick from 2 years ago?
I think they just wanted to be rid of him.
Holy
crap. I don't think
they
cared what they got. And I saw this, 2 days ago, or was it last? Whenever I saw, well, the Sixers are interested in dealing Markelle Fultz, and it made me laugh. Because I was like, well, what are they going to get for him? Like, almost to the point where you just have to keep him because you can't really get anything. I can't believe they got anything for him. It's a first and a second round pick, which is crazy. I was surprised by that. And it should be a pretty good pick.
I'm guessing it'll be protected. We'll have to check. These charts on the NBA draft picks are insane.
It's insane.
It'll be protected for the next 8 years from the 1-5 slot.
But, I mean, yeah. I think it's a pretty clear sign that the Sixers don't believe Markelle Fultz has anything. And I can't really blame them. Like, he's got so many issues and so many problems. I mean, maybe a fresh start helps. Maybe going somewhere else and not having the pressure of being... the number one pick, even though he still is, it's not in that same spot. Maybe it's a fresh start somehow, because it's definitely very mental, even though there's also physical issues. There's a lot mental there, and so maybe getting somewhere else where you don't have the same expectations and pressure on you maybe helps. But kind of surprised they were able to get anything, really. Once I heard he was on the block, it just made me laugh. For what? And I guess we found out. That was his value.
You find Harrison Barnes to the Kings fascinating. Why?
Well, the Kings making moves to be competitive. I mean, I don't think anybody thought they could be this good going into the season. They already passed their season win total. So, you know, I think there was part of them could just say, well, this is a pretty good season. Let's hang on with where we are. But to go get Harrison Barnes, a guy who has been a very, very solid player and a guy who's been, you know, has playoff experience, who's been around, can show the younger guys what it takes to win, I think is helpful. It's just interesting that they're making moves like that.
Yeah, it is. I thought the weird thing with Harrison Barnes and Otto Porter is the fact that they're still owed money. So the Kings are certainly in the playoff mix, and they should go for it. You know what? Their fans never get to experience winning. Barnes makes $25 million for one more year.
Yeah.
Right? And remember when he was signed away from the Warriors, people were like, what in the crap are the Mavericks doing? So it was only a four-year deal. It was a four-year deal for over, what was the total? Was it over 100? Whatever. It was $96 million, something like that. Do you get Otto Porter to the Bulls?
Not really.
They're rebuilding. Jabari Parker's totally fallen out of favor. But Porter's owed two more years. You ready for this? Because Parker went that deal from the Bulls to the Wiz.
Right, that's what I was...
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was looking at.
And Porter is owed $55 million the next 2 years.
Crazy.
All right, I thought the Bulls are in, like, full rebuild.
Maybe that's who they want to build around.
I don't know, man.
Because I had seen a tweet from one of the people that covered the Wizards the other day, early in the week, that was like, yeah, Otto Porter is a guy they're really invested in. They're really married to. Like, they want him around as part of... Perhaps who knows what they are now.
Adam, I'm sure when the Wiz engaged in this conversation, because the Wiz are screwed now without Wall for a year.
Yeah.
When the Wiz engaged in this conversation, I don't know who started it, but when Porter was mentioned, I'm sure they're like, yeah, okay, yeah. Yes, let's go. Yeah. And we'll take Parker. Parker's owed one more year. I think Parker's was like 2 years, $40 million. I love how we throw these numbers. 20, 25, 27.
And maybe the Otto Porter thing was trying to get other teams to jump at trying to get him. Maybe you put it out there. Hey, they want him. They want him to be around, and part of their, part of their rebuild because they wanted to actually trade him, and they were trying to drive up the value. Who knows? But I had seen that earlier this week. I think actually might have been our favorite people over at Freezing Cold Takes. I think it sent that out after he got traded.
Yeah.
They thought they were building around him. What happened there? But everything changed for the Wizards. Because as you said, John Wall was out the year. Now he's out 2 years. So what are they?
I assume Bradley Beal would be available too.
I would think.
God, it's got to suck in some of these markets. I mean, I'm sure you love it because you're not a paying customer, so you don't mind a team going down for 6 years.
Well, I think that's how you. I think the Sixers did it right.
It's a way to do it. It doesn't guarantee it.
No.
But well, so what do you think about what the Clippers have done?
Yeah,
so the Clippers actually treaded water last year and this year, and are in the playoff race. I think they still believe they have a chance to compete.
But they're clearing.
But they're not saying, hey, we're going to win 10 games. So they're doing it differently.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe it's something they can't do in LA because no one will freaking go to the games.
Right, but right now they're pretty much clearing the decks. I mean, they're setting themselves up to make a big splash.
Well, they're clearing the decks from a money standpoint. They're not clearing the decks for draft picks.
Right. Right, but they're
the Wizards are heading towards, you know, 15-win territory for a couple of years. There's different ways of doing it.
Yeah.
Almost no one does what the Clippers are doing, and we'll see if it works for the Clippers. The Clippers are like, we can compete, still sell tickets, still compete for the 8th slot, 7th slot in the West, but we're not going to completely tear it down.
Yeah, and I think
Which is amazing, because if you told people a couple of years ago, hey, the Clippers are going to get rid of, they're going to lose Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan, but they're still going to compete. What? How is that possible? But they are.
And it matters what point you're starting from also. I mean, most teams aren't in a position where they can do that, where you can clear out space and clear out those big-name salaries and still have enough left on your roster to actually try. So they were in a better spot, and they were able to do what they wanted to do, and now they're set up where they want to be for the offseason, which is to be able to sign whoever they want. And they know that LA is an attractive market. And the Lakers were going to be the one to do it, but right now the Clippers are like, yeah, we're going to be right in that mix with you.
There were multiple rants the last couple of days in the NBA. We'll get to Kevin Durant's rant in the 5 o'clock hour. LeBron went off in a weird way. And we'll find out what's going on with the Lakers, try to collect ourselves here from a roster standpoint. No one knows the Lakers better than their sideline reporter, Mike Trudell, and he's up in five.
Finley Toyota. They'll do anything to sell you a car. No Toyota problem is too tough, too large, or too small. Keep your Toyota running like a Toyota. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Rondo could feed Kuzma. Spin cycle to score. Stevenson spinning, finding JaVale. He stayed with it and tipped it in.
Rolling on here on this Thursday. We were just trying to make sense of the trade deadline. I don't know what just happened. There were like 100 deals. I think a lot of salary dumps. Weird teams are picking up guys. Lakers didn't get done what they wanted to get done, but they did have a couple of moves come through. We want to get into that, and we love this guy. He's great. Mike Trudell is on the road. He's getting ready for the game, Lakers game at the Celtics, and he's actually calling in here. Nice enough to join us. What's up, Mike?
What's happening, guys? I am live in Boston. You might be a little loud in the background, of course. Lakers getting ready to take out the Celtics as they get through the trade deadline alive, and just waiting to see what's going to happen in the actual game after what's been a pretty crazy week, guys.
All right, so tell us what happened with these two acquisitions the last, 2 days for the Lakers.
Well, so, I mean, the only deal that the Lakers are sort of talking about since it's officially done is the Bullock deal. And so you saw Steve McKaylu and a second-round pick go yesterday to the Pistons. And I think that, the big reason that happened is pretty obvious. Just Bullock is a really good shooter, 40% for his career. He's excellent in spot-up situations. Like, he can shoot a little bit off the dribble. And then he's got some size defensively, guys, at 6'7", where you can you don't have to take him off the court on the other end like some 3-point specialist. He can actually fluctuate between some wing positions, and I think that kind of player really does fit nicely, especially around LeBron James. If we can be honest, we should say the Lakers have not shot three well enough, even with some of the players they have that I think are better shooters than they've shown so far. And they will. I think they will miss on. Luke Walton just said this. They'll miss Svi, and they'll miss the potential that he had shown, especially in summer league. But Bullock clearly right now, the better and more established player, and it should be somebody that helps their rotation. He'll join the team, by the way, tomorrow in Philly, and hopefully be clear to play on Saturday.
All right, Mike. So what's the deal with Mike Muscala?
So Muscala hasn't been that. We know that that's been reported. The Lakers haven't. It actually hasn't been an official trade yet. But if you just look at him as a player, similar in the sense of he's a shooter that can play that stretch five spot. Not going to necessarily do a lot defensively guarding five. But you can put him in situations to score. And it ultimately, though, it just kind of accomplishes that same thing that Bullock does, and it spreads the floor a bit more. If you get a guy like that on the perimeter at that spot. So I think that the shooting is the main aspect that you would gain from Muscala.
If this comes through, are you surprised that they would trade Zubats?
That all comes into place as to what the front office wants to do, not just for the rest of this year, but moving forward, right? And if you have a young guy that's a restricted free agent, what was the likelihood that you were going to sign that player back? What was the likelihood that that player was going to be part of the long-term future? And those are all the considerations that a front office is going to make in a deal like that. And, what we don't know, of course, and we know that there wasn't a big trade that happened to the Lakers. We don't know what exactly the plan is going to be for this summer. We do know that Magic and Flinka have been very open and clear about wanting to add a second big-time player to LeBron James at some point. And so how does that impact the rest of the cap and the rest of the roster? That all remains to be seen, guys. But, look, at least we know now what the roster is going to be for the rest of the season. And hopefully that stabilizes things a bit after, you saw how tricky that game in Indiana was, when everything seemed to be still a little bit up in the air, or I should say a lot up in the air.
Mike Trudell's with us. I want you to put on your talk show host hat. Not easy to say. What's your opinion of what went down this week with the Pelicans? Did the Pelicans completely waste the Lakers' time? Were they really looking for a better deal? What's your take?
Well, okay, so from the macro perspective, right, just looking at when a player is essentially, whether through his representative or not, saying that he's not going to re-sign in your town, to me, that decreases some of your leverage right off the bat. We saw the situation happen with Paul George. We saw it happen with Kawhi Leonard. We saw it with Kyrie Irving. And none of those three players really netted that much, honestly, in return, since those players said that they were going. But, in the case of the Pelicans, it just all depends on what side you believe, how much is another team going to offer for that player. And that, those are the things, guys, that, you know, we're hearing various reports. We're all going to see the same one. But we don't actually know what somebody else's offer is going to be. We don't even know what if the Lakers know what an offer was made specifically. We just don't know all of that information. So it really all depends on what the specific offers were. And so it's difficult then to analyze, all right, well, what if we're just talking about hypotheticals and theoreticals and we don't know what players were involved in an offer, that's what makes it difficult to know what the Pelicans should or shouldn't have done.
Is there any reason to believe that Lakers' offer that was out there that was widely reported was not accurate?
I don't know that. I certainly don't have any conversations about that. And that's not something that, of course, the Lakers would talk about or that I would talk about. I don't know if there was any specific offer made or not, right? So the reports that you might have seen coming out, that's not something that we're going to get officially confirmed one way or the other.
Do you think that the Lakers may have been busier if there wasn't so much attention placed in the direction of the Pelicans and trying to get Anthony Davis?
No, I mean, I would still take a step back from all of that and consider that they were very careful last year and really the last couple of years when making trade offers, right? When making free agent acquisitions or just signing guys for the season, that they didn't take guys that were going to take up space moving past this summer. And so that to me would be the biggest reason why, you know, you wouldn't be super active at the deadline, because you don't want to take on money when you still do have a maximum space heading into the summer. And that hasn't changed, right? That I don't think any move that was made or that was reported to have been made over the deadline, I don't think any of that impacts all of the space that the Lakers have been pretty careful about keeping. And that to me does make some sense, because the best thing you can do to me is what they did last year when LeBron James comes to your team for free, and you get a max player, and you don't have to give anything up for him. And I do think that that's something we probably don't talk about enough. And again, it all has to get paid out and paid off eventually. But to at least have that opportunity to be able to come and sign a player into that maximum space without giving anything up, to me, remains something that you want to protect at most cost, right? There are exceptions, but at most cost.
So the Lakers do keep a lot of those guys around. Now they have to go forward with playing a season after whatever craziness this was the last week, with everybody being suspicious that they were on the move, everybody being chanted at that they were being traded, or LeBron was trading them, and everything else that was going down. And now all of a sudden, all right, you guys, we're all still together. We're going to have to go forward with the season now. How do they do that?
Well, it is, look, it's easy to say this, right, because we're not the ones out there playing, but it is part of the game. It is part of what they signed up for. These guys know going into the season that has a chance to happen, especially when you have a player the magnitude of LeBron. And, you know, LeBron's the one that's been asked the most about this. Of course, he's never been one worrying about if he's going to be in the trade rumor, because he's been the best player in the world for most of his career, right? So it's not like he's seeing his name, I wonder if the team's going to trade him. But he's seen his teammates get traded, and I think he said, look, man, some guys handle it better than others. It's tough on some guys. Other guys sort of – let me give you an example. So Brandon Ingram is a player that I actually think has played really well for these last couple weeks, has not been affected. He didn't even really wasn't affected when they were chanting at him at the free throw line. And the reason that Ingram said is because, look, man, where I come from, I've been through a lot worse than being an NBA trader. So he's had things happen in his personal life. And, you know, he grew up in Kinston, North Carolina. And, you know, so he's not somebody that's going to let that change his ultimate goal and his ultimate desire to be an NBA player and to be the best he can be. So, in that sense, that's the way that you hope the guys can respond. And that doesn't mean that everybody's going to do it that way. But I do think that's something that we can focus on. Ingram's one guy that handled it pretty well.
Last one with Mike Trudell, who's on the road with the Lakers, sideline reporter at Boston. So just give us the vibe. What is it like when the Lakers arrive in Boston normally? This is a long rivalry, and how much different, like, do you feel it? Does it feel different tonight with LeBron now as part of the Lakers?
I mean, maybe LeBron adds a little bit of an edge to it just because he has his whole own history with the Celtics and all those playoff series that he had when he was with both the Heat and the Cavs. So that's there. But it still feels like Lakers-Celtics. I mean, I'm right now, I'm standing about 30 feet away from Kevin Garnett wearing a Rajon Rondo jersey, standing next to Meta World Peace in his own Lakers jersey. That's the kind of stuff. Literally, they're both like a stone's throw away from me, chatting each other up. Probably talking about those 08 track. Well, of course, Ron wasn't there in 08, but the 2010 finals matchup that the Lakers won. And so, like, that stuff's here. And the only other element I'll add is that when these games are late, in this case, it's an 8 p.m. Eastern tip, it just makes it that much crazier because the Celtics fans have, another hour to have an adult beverage or two. And that makes the arena that much more wild. But it's, Lakers Celtics fans. That's how it should be.
Mike, thank you so much. We appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
There you go. Mike Trudell. Thanks. Yeoman's work there.
Impressive.
Come on, really? Meta? Wearing your own jersey?
His own? It's great. What else would you expect him to wear?
Did he say KG was wearing a Rondo Celtics jersey or Rondo Lakers jersey? That's it has to be point. Celtics, right?
I think it was Celtics.
Yeah. I don't think KG would go villain on Boston.
It's his boy, though. We support him.
So this rivalry has so much history, and now LeBron's part of the Lakers, so it's easy to hate the Lakers even more for the Celtics. The Celtics probably, and fans should be, well, especially the fans, should be turning their attention to the rest of the East. Boy, some of these were small moves. The Sixers move was not a small move. But between the Bucks, the Raptors, and the Sixers, they went for it. They're like, we want to win the East. We're not just handing this to the Celtics, and the Celtics haven't been what we thought the Celtics would be, at least not what I thought, the whole year, basically. Man, the East, it was good. Now, it's freaking nasty with these acquisitions.
It's what kind of people thought might happen the last couple of years with, hey, you see an opening, you might be able to get to the finals, but LeBron is still there. Even though the Cavs were susceptible, they weren't, dominating anybody, you still kept thinking, well, LeBron is still going to probably take them to the finals. That's going to make it a challenging path. But now you're looking around and saying, there's really not a dominant team. And everybody thought it would be the Celtics. They're not. The Bucks are dominating right now, but are they unbeatable? No. Like, everybody's looking at it and saying...
I said to you earlier, Mirotić is a nice weapon to add to that team. That guy's a freaking scorer. And, you talk about high-low. Not that Greek Freak is a pure low-post player. He's not, but... Man, Mirotić can shoot it.
Yeah. I mean, that they're going to be better, so they have a good shot. But everybody in the East looks and says, maybe we can just get to the finals. And by the way, if somehow, some way, somebody knocks off the Warriors, now a trip to the finals becomes that much more valuable. So there's no reason not to at least give it a try.
What do you think about what the Lakers have done here?
I think they put...
adding Muscala and... Bullock, so they got some more 3-point shooting, which is good.
Yeah, they're not mortgaging the future.
Right.
I mean, you give it away to try to get Anthony Davis for the future, but at this point, you're not selling a whole bunch of assets to try to make a run this year because you don't have that kind of team. So I kind of like positioning yourself, having some good pieces, but hey, it's all about next year and it's about the future, not about this year for us right now. They might not even make the playoffs. So, there's no reason to try to sell and try to make a huge run.
By the way, was that the real genesis, the motivation for LeBron's angry rant? What was he ranting about? Harrison Barnes to the Kings?
Yeah, about the business of things. I really don't understand what he was.
Or is he more like, crap, the Kings just got better and they may keep us out of the playoffs?
No, I don't think that was it. I thought it was more, trading a player where they're on the floor and the whole concept of, just being a business and not caring about the people. And that
LeBron?
Sort of thing. But that's what
Come
I'm saying.
LeBron.
I don't get what he's saying. LeBron is putting every teammate he has through this right now.
Right.
I don't know what he means.
I hate this business. Make sure you include all the guys. Yeah. Make it public to put pressure on the Pelicans.
It's unreal.
I hate this business. I love LeBron, but that is one thing. He can be so disingenuous at times.
Yeah.
Like playing a certain role. I mean, the stuff I will never get over the building of the Cavs roster and what they did at the trade deadline last year. And he's like, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what they're doing. Yeah. I guess I'm just going to go out there and play with whoever I've got.
They don't ask me. I don't have GM powers.
You do. You're the GM.
And he has GM powers in LA.
Of course he does. He always has and always will at this point. There's never going to be a time where he doesn't have input on a decision about a team that he's playing for.
Do we have to... look back a little bit and rip on the Lakers for a second?
Four?
Well, Chrissy just nods her head.
Yes.
Yes. They did have So they've got Ingram and Cousy. Lonzo's been shaky now, and his dad's being a pain in the ass again. We'll get to that. They did have two other guys they took in the top 10. In D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle, and they just threw them away. And I will say, I was not comfortable with the Randle move. I thought that was weird. And again, they're trying to clear the decks for all these great acquisitions. He's been a pretty good player with the Pelicans. Like, that could have been a usable weapon and also usable in a real deal, not to get freaking Rondo. And then the other one, and I was 100% about this, I gave up on D'Angelo Russell too early. He's a high-volume guy. He's never going to be, you know, 48% shooter from the field. He's turned into a pretty good player. He's averaging 20 a game. Does anyone realize, you know, we just talked about the powers in the East. Brooklyn's above 500. Brooklyn's 29 and 27. And a lot of that is because D'Angelo Russell, and they 100% gave him away. They're like, yeah, we'll take back, you know, one of the giant twins.
Lopez.
Yeah. We'll take back Brooke, who, you know, wants to shoot threes and grabs two rebounds a game. They just gave him away.
No, I think they did, and I think there should be some criticism.
And now to that. We can't ignore what was going on at the time. He was a child, but guess what? That's what you draft into when you draft an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old. There's going to be, in some cases, ridiculous moments like that whole thing. Well, but on the flip, I'm just going to keep doing my own talk show with myself here. On the flip side of that, you may have been a little smarter in surrounding D'Angelo Russell with adults.
With not Swaggy P?
Yeah. Jackasses, unlike Swaggy P. Or I guess like Swaggy P.
And also, I mean, he may not have done this without a fresh start. We talked about Markelle Fultz earlier.
Yep.
Markelle Fultz, I think, needs... I don't know that it's going to fix him, but I know that he's not going to get better in Philadelphia. So maybe going somewhere else is going to help him out and you know, turn things around for him and send, you know, deliver the message. I think it could work in that manner, too. Like, maybe that's what happened with D'Angelo Russell. Maybe he never would have come around in L.A. He got a fresh start, kind of a wake-up call, and, you know, found himself a little bit. So I don't think you can automatically just assume he'd be doing this for the Lakers.
You know, it's funny. We were just talking about some of our promotions, still mentioning football season. And we were both like, it's over. It's actually not. Because we've got one league that's going to start up here in basically 48 hours. We got another one that's trying to make a big push this week and next week and announcing what they've got coming. So we got what's trending on the way on both the XFL and the AAF.
Cofield and Company will be back in 90 seconds. Keep it here on ESPN Las Vegas. Now it's time to find out what's trending on Cofield and Company.
Just past the halfway point of the show. Thanks again to Mike Trudell. We'll have that podcasted after the show. Cofield and Company on LVSportsNetwork.com. He's 23 minutes away from covering the Celtics hosting the Lakers. So, again, if you missed it, Lakers, one trade is official. Reggie Bullock, that was a couple days ago. The other one, it's so weird with the NBA, isn't it? Because it happens during the draft, too. What is the deal with the deadline passes and then the league has to... I mean, I guess that's the way it works, but it's just like we can't officially report it for 10 hours.
Right.
Mike Muscala, who was moved to the Clippers, is now being moved to the Lakers for Zubats, and what a loss. It was a great era with Michael Beasley on the Lakers.
It's sad. The real... when they put the highlight package together of Beasley's time with the Lakers, it'll be a very lengthy video. A tribute when he returns... home all the way from across the hall. It was some weird trades. I think people expected the massive trade for the Lakers. It didn't happen. They put a couple pieces out there. It's guys that can shoot the ball, which is what LeBron needs around him. He needs guys that are shooters, and now he's got a couple.
You know, I was in Boise yesterday covering the UNLV game, and I'm sad that you guys didn't ask about Boise at all. We talked a little bit about Boise, but just
hey, Steve, how was Boise?
It was pretty good. It was actually it was cold last night. You know, I'm very adverse to cold at this point.
It's very far north.
Because you have the thin blood. Isn't that how that works?
I don't know if that's... I'm not a doctor, but that's what you hear. Does your blood thin out in this desert heat?
I have to go to Denver next week, so I'm petrified.
Good luck. Could be 75, could be 14.
I'm terrified.
I was going to ask, what was the temperature?
12?
Probably about 22 when we left.
Sounds brutal.
During the day, 38.
Oh, it's balmy.
Balmy. Yeah, kind of like
I was. I was walking around late night on Tuesday. It was pretty chilly.
Yeah, I mean, it'll
I had to drink some beers to warm up.
It's very far north.
That's all I could find.
How far was the flight? Was it 2 hours?
No, it's only an hour and 20 minutes.
That's not bad. Nice.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what I thought.
Mountain West is, it's awesome. Even though I can't breathe in any of these cities because they're at elevation and I'm fat. Which, by the way, I don't know why I do this.
You mentioned
but,
it on the broadcast.
Well, I've just turned into a clown. I'm just the idiot sideline reporter. So I will generally try to find... I usually sit with the fans, try to get yelled at a little bit. But this time in Boise, I was like, I'm going all the way upstairs. Now, it's a deceivingly big arena, but it's built like straight up. It actually holds 12-6. They've got three levels in Boise. The upper level, there were like 14 people, like in the entire thing. And I walked up the stairs. It's an old arena, so I don't think there are elevators. Boy, I got to the top, and I was gassed. And then I looked down to walk down to the front row, and I was like, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to tumble here as an oaf, as I become more of an oaf as I age, and I'm going to die flipping into the second level.
I was listening to the broadcast. It sounded like you tried to make your way down, but you were holding onto the railings the whole way.
You know what's funny is Robert Smith was saying that he was lying. He didn't see me, but he nailed it. I was holding on, like, because I'm also holding a microphone. So I'm like, yeah, if I have to throw the mic to save myself, then someone's going to get doinked in the head.
I feel like holding onto the rail is just smart. Like, I don't think it's something to mock somebody on. It's just an intelligent thing to do.
If you're at an upper deck at any stadium arena, especially an older one, and you know, and I wasn't blasted, but if you're blasted and you just think this is like a leisurely walk down the stairs, you're going to die.
Well, I mean,
not to be too hardcore.
You're going to. You have a chance to.
There's a good chance.
Yeah. But so it was a lie that Robert Smith had watched you walk down from the top, because I heard him say that.
Yeah. Well, I think Robert has played into the fact that I am an idiot and clumsy.
Yeah.
And I didn't mention it on the air. Boy, I'm having trouble just controlling this figure that I've got now. The boss actually went to go see the game. Desiree Reed Francois. Mm. She went to see the game. So she was on the UNLV plane. As a member of the broadcast crew, I will travel on that plane. I got on the plane. It's a smaller plane. And I had a backpack. And she was up front. And she says, hey, are you okay to get by? And I was like, sure. And I turned. And I just completely blasted her right in the face. Yeah, I just buried a shoulder into her face. And she fell backwards. And I was like, oops, sorry.
Add that to the resume. That's like, that is so... Well,
yeah, this will be the 1 year I did this. So
did she
enjoy it the rest of the way?
But I think the big question is though, did she get angry with you and demand you go through, or did she laugh about it?
She laughed about it. She needs to be out there a lot more with the general public, because when you meet her, she's a really nice lady.
Did she
very nice?
Did she aggressively try to talk you into getting married at some point?
She did.
Not to her.
She mentions it every time I see her now.
Yeah.
And she actually, that was her response. She goes, did you give me that shoulder in the face because I said you should get married soon? I was like, no, no, no.
It was a total accident.
Sure.
Complete accident.
It really was. I felt bad. But I had no idea it happened.
I've done that before and, you know, knocked people with my purse and not noticed.
Oh, man.
Until they are like, what?
Is that the noise?
They've written me. Because when you first told the story, I just assumed your backpack, like you tried to spin in like your backpack or your bag.
No, I was facing her. I don't know. I turned sideways and it was just right in the shoulder.
I mean, was she trying to take the charge?
Okay, we'll call it a charge.
I like that.
I don't think she was stationary. She was bending. She kind of was bending over.
Okay. Well, the block.
I was
the line for two.
In the most recent viral video, I was the sheep and she was the farmer. Remember the sheep?
Wait, is that a farmer? I thought it was another animal that he knocked over.
No, it was a person. There was a video out last week where a sheep basically did the Anthony Pettis Showtime kick, jumped off a wall, and then freaking just plowed through some farmer, crushed him. And then the sheep was down for a second. It's just like, okay, let's go. Ready to go. Popped up, back on all four.
It's a very aggressive maneuver. I was impressed by
that. I really wasn't the sheep, because that sheep had intent.
True.
Yeah.
But I think there was a little bit of intent on your part, too.
Weird segue. Do you think my guy, President Trump, would allow his kids to be a farmer around sheep after saying that?
No, I don't think so. Because
Wait a second. How is that possible? President Trump said of the NFL, basically, I'll paraphrase, this head injury stuff and penalties for hits, they're being pansies.
True.
So I believe that if that was Barron's choice, wanted to be a farmer around, what would you... I don't know if that guy was technically a sheep herder, but I'm going to go. If he wanted to be a sheep herder...
Shepherd?
Well, that's a good point. That's not a sheep herder. It is a shepherd. Yeah.
A sheep herd.
He got it right.
That's where he got it.
Yeah. I know.
Shepherd.
I learn something new every day.
So, well, first of all, no, and I know we have, I think we have an answer to this, but at the same time, Trump didn't allow his kid to wear a jersey to a baseball game because he needs to be wearing a suit all the time. So I don't think any job with no suit.
What a life.
I don't think any job with no suit would be appropriate for any of the Trump children.
Well, this all ties into what? Now it looks like President Trump has changed his tune on football players being panties?
Well, he was asked around the Super Bowl whether he would allow Barron to play football if he wanted to, and he said, no, it seems very dangerous. All the head injuries, all the talk of concussions and CTE, just seems like a dangerous game.
Wait, hold on a second. So President Trump said 2 years ago, really going on three, you used to see these tackles. It was incredible to watch. Now, and he goes into an effeminate voice, tackle, head-on collision, 15-yard penalty. The whole game is screwed up. So he called NFL players wimps.
Yes. And the game is wimpy. And
he said concussions. Oh, got a little ding on the head. No, you can't play for the rest of the season. He said our people are tough. Our people.
Yeah. But
Barron can't play football.
Barron can't play football because it's dangerous and the head injuries. Now, I think what you can take from that is, yeah, I want to see guys knock their heads around and die early, and I like the action, only as long as it's somebody that I don't care about, I think would be the more accurate portrayal of what he's saying.
Wow, this is weird. So the full statement on his kid not playing football, he said, I wouldn't let him play football. He actually plays a lot of soccer. He's liking soccer. Then he goes into a side point of backing soccer. He said a lot of people, including me, thought soccer would probably never make it in this country, but it really is moving forward rapidly, so he backs soccer now because Barron's playing. I just don't like the reports that I see coming out having to do with football. I mean, it's a dangerous sport. I think it's really tough. I thought the equipment would get better, and it has. The helmets have gotten far better, but it hasn't solved the problem. So, you know, I hate to say it because I love to watch football. Blah, blah, blah. So. Well, he also said I've heard NFL players saying they wouldn't let their sons play football.
Yeah, which is true.
Well, you know what? Do we have to rip them? I mean, everyone is
no, those entitled. Those same reports were out 2 years ago.
No, but everyone is entitled. Okay, he didn't have enough information, and now
he did.
He has a dog in the fight, his son.
He had the son then, too.
All right, it's pretty bad. Yeah. It's a pretty bad flip after calling.
Of course.
what are we looking at in the NFL? The average, 6'3", 230-pound male calling him a pansy, calling the people who run football wimps, and then he's like, nah. 2 years later, kid's not playing.
It's
too violent.
But it's it's what it is.
Everyone's entitled to change their mind.
Okay, fine.
Glass overflowing for my guy.
But I don't think he's changed his mind. In fact, I bet you if you asked him now, he'd still say football's too soft. Just not for his kid.
Well.
The exception, not the rule.
A lot of places we can go with that. Is this official today? Bob Stoops is back?
He's back.
This is a weird one. So Bob Stoops, the Oklahoma coach who seemed to have retired prematurely, has been rumored for every freaking big college job and many NFL jobs, took a gig with the new league starting... No, actually the XFL.
Yeah.
So he's the coach GM in Dallas.
Yes, he's back in football. Big game, Bob.
Okay.
What do you have against Bob?
I don't have anything.
Surprising. Here. It's just more surprising that this is the job that he would come back for.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it's probably a less stressful way of wetting your beak. Staying in the game.
Yeah.
Although taking over a program again.
New personnel too. It's a little difficult.
But you're playing with house money for the first couple years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just totally different than the pressure of coaching a Power 5 program or an NFL team.
Yeah. I mean, if there is a couple of years, you don't know how long the league's going to last either. Yeah.
Or he's looking at it like, the league probably sucks, but if they're going to throw me ridiculous money, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, he probably wants some like Monday Night Raw tickets, like to go along with it. He's like, ah, that's good. I'll go see some events. I'll go coach in this league. Call it a day, and maybe be a part of a future 30 for 30.
We'll get to the news on the AAF, which is starting off on Saturday. But on the way back, we check in with our big hockey party down at Green Valley Ranch. Clay Baker is going to be with us live from Pizza Rock.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Golden Knights in Detroit, scoreless right now, 11 minutes left in the first. Clay Baker's on the scene, big viewing party. We've got it going down all the time at Pizza Rock Green Valley Ranch. But tonight's the night, and Clay is very, very, not going to say distracted, but he's having a tough time. Red Wings and VGK, who do you root for, right? What's going down to the party?
I don't know, man, but it's actually a lot of fun because I think there's a lot of Red Wing and Golden Knight fans here over at Pizza Rock inside GVR, and everyone's having a blast because not only is the game on all the screens, but they have the game sound, too. So come on out. We got a great pizza special during happy hour, $5, $7, and $8 personal pizzas. And, of course, 32-ounce PBRs for $4. Well, drinks are $4, and $4 Pizza Rock meatballs. Come on out. We also have a chance for you to win VGK tickets for an upcoming home game. Man, I can't think of a better place to have a pizza chill and watch tonight's Golden Knights game here at the great hockey viewing party, Pizza Rock and GVR. I'm here until 6 o'clock, man.
We mentioned it before,
Clay. That was pretty nice, right?
Yeah, we mentioned it before. You got to get on it. The Detroit Red Top down there, it's a perfect night for it.
Yeah. Think about it. So you get the Detroit pizza. It's like they put it in like the big steel pan, and they do like the strips of marinara, kind of like the South Jersey tomato pies. It's awesome. You should do it. The Detroit Red Top is here. And, you know, from time to time on Cofield and Company, when you guys do the roadshow with Angel, you guys do a little thing, go like, what does Angel like?
Yeah.
Right? And over the years, we've known that Angel likes ginger ale. And I thought I'd be a big shot by ordering a bunch of, like, happy hour personal pizzas for the table. I'm like, pizza, pizza. And Angel raises his hand and tells the waitress, I'll have the calamari. Wow. So I'm like, all right, okay. Great. Come have the calamari, big shot. All right. So he likes calamari as well. And very they got nice. It all here. Right. It's actually fresh, the way they would serve it up in Detroit.
Awesome. All right, Clay.
So
have
Pizza
fun.
Rock, come on down. GVR, I'm here until 6 o'clock. All right, boys. Thank you.
There you go. Clay Baker.
Drop the mic.
Green Valley Ranch. Pizza Rock, Pizza Rock, Pizza Rock. Angel throws us off all the time. So the list now includes
Roller Coaster of Love.
He loves that song. Second song he loves?
Mary Tyler Moore theme song.
Yep. He actually has a preferred pizza, but it is of much lower level.
Yeah.
He loves stuffed crust pizza.
Yeah, anything stuffed in a crust, he's all about it. As we learned, ginger ale.
Now we just found out calamari.
Yeah, calamari's on the list. He's a very fascinating individual. And crushed it on the DJ booth at the holiday party.
He was good.
Yeah.
I don't remember much of that party.
He mixed in...
Was the music good?
He opened his set with Roller Coaster of Love.
Oh, yeah.
And he mixed in the Mary Tyler Moore theme song to the middle of his DJ set. It was brilliant.
I do remember that because I was in the back of... the place, and I ran to the front, and I don't think anyone else got the joke.
No.
But I was so happy. I'm like, yeah, Mary Tyler Moore! Everyone else is like, why is he playing Mary Tyler Moore halfway into our party? What's going on
here? He did it just for us. It was impressive.
Yeah, that's the only time I've seen him sad.
Oh, when she died?
Yeah, when she passed away, yeah.
I didn't understand why it was such a big deal, but he was explaining it to me.
He's a mystery. He's a mystery. So you can go out and meet Baker in Henderson. Angel in Henderson. Pizza Rock Green Valley Ranch is where you want to be tonight for... Uh-oh. Detroit just scored 1-0. 8:41 left in the first. All right, Big Five is on the way. Chrissy, Adam, Cofield, as we get into what happened last night around the Mountain West Conference. We'll revisit what's going on with Reno and Musselman, a little bit of baseball. So plenty on the way in our 5 o'clock hour.